podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow-Mersh Milton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow-Mersh.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 220. We are back with a bang this week with all three of our festive fixtures to go through. The tight 1-0 win over QPR at Loftus Road, the Boxing Day banger at home to Swansea, and finally, Friday night's year-ending victory over Plymouth. A very Merry Christmas indeed. All set up for a fantastic 2024, trailing second place Ipswich by just 3 points now, and that unbeaten streak reaches 17. I trust you've all had the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Years. With me today to bask in all this glory is Tim Bazance. Tim, before we get into all this basking, how was your Christmas and New Year?
Absolutely delicious. So lots of good food. Lots of good times. No crazy family stories that I have from this Christmas, so that's always a plus. And yeah, it is New Year's Eve. So as a background or health educator like myself, I'll be sparking off anybody's opportunities for New Year's resolutions and goals and trying to better themselves. And if you don't care about that thing, well, that's totally okay too. I just hope you had a great 2023 and 2024 is successful for everyone.
Yeah, I should say actually, at the time of recording it, as Tim just said, it is 2023. It's New Year's Eve, but by the time this comes out, it will be a new year already. But yeah, Tim, I took my kids to see Father Christmas just before the game against QPR. It was all nice. It's all good. He saw my Saints coat and he said it will send some Christmas spirit to St. Mary's. And it looks like he did just that, because three wins from three since the time of since our last recording. That's 8 goals scored, 1 conceded, and a silly one that was. So that's 7 home wins in a row. In this stretch of 17 games, Tim, we've won 12. Drawn 5, and that's 33 goals scored with 11 conceded and 7 clean sheets. The goal difference has improved. The whole defensive unit is, can we call it elite now? I guess we can for this division. We've stopped conceded from set pieces also, and despite losing our set piece coach, drastically improved. And if you take a look at the 9 games before this streak, 3 wins, 5 losses, 1 draw, and I'm including that Gillingham defeat in this also. So we scored 13 goals and we conceded 22 in that stretch. So from 9 games conceding 22, we've now gone 17 games and conceded half of that with 11. It really is a fabulous end to the year, and it's just hard to believe that the last defeat was back on 23rd of September.
And we all were really clamoring and saying, while Middlesbrough was looking terrible at the time on the 23rd, we shouldn't have lost. And they were absolutely, they were at the bottom of the table at the time.
They were bottom of the league. Yeah.
Yeah. And they come out and win, and we're all just completely disheveled, thinking, you know, barely going to get maybe the playoffs and whatnot. Then here we come out and spank Leeds on the 30th, 3-1, and haven't lost since. And to me, that's just unbelievable to be able to say that October, November, and December, and even the 30th of September, we haven't had any issues. Like, what? Like, to me, yes, I mean, we've had issues, but over a period of 17 games, if you have unbeaten, That's unheard of. We're getting close to the record for Southampton at this point.
Indeed, yeah. And you have to look at Russell Martin as well. And there's a lot of people that were out that were calling for his head. I mean, I'm still not impressed with the way that we play at times, but you can't argue with the results, can you? You know, we're getting the results. And all right, sometimes you come away with a draw like the Rotherham one and we weren't too happy with. I mean, I know the Coventry and the Watford games that, you know, we probably should have done better, but we're not losing games and we're not conceding a lot of goals. So it's massive at the moment. And okay, you've got three more games here this week. 1-0 win over QPR on Saturday the 23rd, and that was thanks to Taylor Harwood-Bellis. And then Boxing Day was as good as it gets, really, wasn't it? Resounding 5-0 win. Aribo started things off. Samuel Adozie added a second. Super sub Ryan Fraser grabbed a brace before Che completed the rout. And Kevin attended this game, and that was the second game that he attended in a row. The one before that was obviously Blackburn. So, you know, he's seen a 4-0 and a 5-0. So Kevin's the good luck charm. And then, of course, Plymouth on the Friday the 29th. Usual dominating possession, Tim, which turned out to be a frustrating night. But we got there in the end with goals from Charlie Alcaraz and Shea Adams before conceding a needless one to make it an uncomfortable end. But yeah, 9 points, can't get any better than that, can we?
And collectively over the last 3 months, there's games that we can say that we, you know, weren't as good or things were frustrating. I think the Watford game is a good example of that, where we conceded fairly late. I think the West Brom game where I actually felt like we were outplayed, but we came across with a win, which is good. The Rotherham game, drawing 1-1. Coventry game also 1-1, and I'm bouncing around a bit, but there's games where you feel like, well, we're not moving, we're not doing enough, we could be doing better, but we haven't been losing. That's the thing, is a win is turning into a draw, whereas before a draw was turning into a loss. And by stopping that skid, you know, we are playing to the level of what we need to be doing to be getting promoted. And it's eventually, and it finally, Ipswich has come down to real life, because in the last five, you know, they have one win in their last five, and they have, it's one win, three draws, and a loss in the last five. Whereas for us, we've capitalized that, and we've had, you know, we have 13 out of 15 points in the last time. So that's where we're right there.
Yeah, and the closing the gap to Ipswich now. And I remember looking back at that, the game that Leeds beat Ipswich. And before the game, I was thinking, well, it might be a good idea if Ipswich were to win that and just let Leicester and Ipswich run away with it for a bit, and we'll just have to compete with Leeds for third place. But now, goodness no, now we're right up there. We're in with a chance of taking that automatic promotion. And, you know, and January around the corner, we've got I wouldn't say an easier schedule, but it's certainly easier than it has been. So, yeah, things are looking up in 2024. If you would like to show your support for the show by buying us a coffee, you can visit buymeacoffee.com/innatnumber. Also, a special mention, a shout out, actually, to Kevin McGee for buying me and Kevin a few drinks on that Boxing Day game with Swansea. So thanks for that, Kevin. Yeah, and also, if you want to join our Discord, just get in touch. You can find us on social media, email, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Somebody will be there to answer your call and get you in. Okay, right. Surprisingly, not a lot of news to go through, Tim, just the game talk, which we'll get to. But we have got a couple of things, and of course that all-important transfer window to discuss. So we'll get into the news right now.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, so yes, as this is released, we are now in January, so we can now look at the fixtures for January and what lies ahead. Obviously, we start on Monday night with that trip to Carrow Road to Norwich City. Then we back home in the FA Cup, nice little FA Cup tie against Walsall on Saturday the 6th. And then following that, we've got Sheffield Wednesday at home on Saturday the 13th. That away trip to Swansea on Saturday the 20th. And then we end the month on Saturday the 27th with Hull City at home. Although, if things go well in that Walsall game, if we can do what we expect against Walsall, let's put it that way, then that Hull City game will be moved and we'll be playing an FA Cup fourth round on that weekend. But yeah, what do you make of this January then, Tim?
We don't see anybody in the top six until West Brom on February 17th.
Well, I think aren't whole six at the moment.
A whole sixth. Okay. Well, thank you for that. But
they won't be by the time we play.
But we're not expecting to see them. So
no, exactly,
you know, we
yeah.
expect. So even if say we, for you know, God forbid, we lose against Walsall, they play Birmingham City, so there's still a good chance that we don't play them that weekend. To me, though, seeing what teams that are I would feel are truly threatening to us, West Brom is the next one on February 17th. That's not to say that we have to go out and we just have to keep smacking these teams, whether it be ultimately not losing. And selfishly, I want Southampton to win against Walsall, and then I want it to get drawn at home so I can attend a game that weekend because I'll be in town that weekend.
No, in our luck, it'll probably be away to Newcastle or something like that. But yeah. I get it. I think this is quite favourable, this fixture list, mm-hmm. actually. Of course, we had that 4-4 with Norwich at St Mary's back in August, but you know, Wednesday, Swansea and Hull, we've already beaten them. And Swansea will be looking for revenge on their own patch for sure, and I don't think we'll be turning them over quite so easily. Hull is potentially the most difficult of the month, but I mean, probably won't be playing them anyway. We have to slip up at some point here, though, don't we? There has to be somewhere where there's a slip up.
I sincerely hope it's not the FA Cup game. I know, you know, I could see us drawing away against Norwich. I could even see us drawing away against Swansea, but it'd be really hard to see us losing to a Danny Roll team in Wednesday at home. But you never know. So yes, we will slip. The odds are against us at this point. You know, I think we've been pushing very well, and 17 games unbeaten is fantastic. We just don't. The biggest thing is that I don't want that loss to affect us long term. I just want to scrub it off, say, okay, brush the dirt off. We're good. Let's get going. Let's just keep pushing through. And yeah, it was a loss, but it's not going
to
affect us long term.
To
me, that's
what
we need.
Well, isn't there? There's still, I mean, we're only halfway through the season. There's still so many things that can happen. I mean, Leicester could have a complete downfall. We just have to be, you know, not be complacent and just keep going. Like you said, just take it one game at a time and just go for it. And I mean, I don't know how we all feel about a cup run, but I love the FA Cup, and a deep run would be fabulous, of course, but not at the expense of our promotion push. And it's, you know, it's always easier when your eye is on one thing.
We got to clean up against Walsall, and then we got to get a good draw and just keep pushing. I think our depth is going to help us because we've seen with Ipswich recently that they've had four of their main primary starters were out in their most recent game. So if they're not able to reload come in the January window, somebody like us, where we'll probably talk about here in the transfer bit, that we might get one or two in, and from there, I think we are very, very much looking up and ahead and forward and can be optimistic going into the second part of the season.
Absolutely. And one player that we are going to lose in January, February is Joe Rebo, because he's been called up by Nigeria for the Africa Cup of Nations, which begins on the 13th of January, and the final takes place on the 11th of Feb. So if Nigeria are to go all the way, Tim, then Aribo could miss up to 5 games, and his form at the moment is massive. And we all know Flynn Downs ill again, so there's potentially two midfielders that we've got out at the moment. So if Nigeria are to go all the way, he could miss Sheffield Wednesday, Swansea, and if they don't make it out of the group, it will be Hull. And if they get to the quarterfinals, it'll be Rotherham. And if they go all the way to the final, it'll be the Huddersfield game as well. So that's 5 games that Rebo could miss. So we are going to need absolutely everybody. And it's important that we keep players like Shea Charles on the field. No suspensions, because we're going to need a lot of players.
Absolutely. And while we're there, I think we should get Flynn Downs, his microbiomes checked. I just want to make sure he's okay, because... Or he might be one of those crazy weirdos that are eating and doing strange things, because as we saw that, or as we've heard, and why we joke about it now, is that he was, what was it, raw chicken liver
that he had
poisoning from. So if he's a smart person, like eating raw chicken liver, maybe he's doing something else that's a little crazy. But I'm going to err on the side of caution. I think we should all make sure that he is happy, healthy, and safe. We cook him some well-done meals, and we feed it to him there. And then we get him to the doctor and get his microbiomes checked, just to make sure he's doing okay.
I'm sure he'll be fine. I don't know. I've got no insight whether he's going to be in the squad for Norwich or not. I have no idea, but hopefully this rest has done him the world of good. And hopefully he doesn't celebrate too much in the new year. One player that has been ruled out of the African Cup of Nations is Kanwedine Sulemana. He's officially out of that Ghana squad now through injury. So that's disappointing for him. He should be back before the end of that tournament. But, I mean, who knows? Tim, it's a silly season. It's upon us again. And, you know, the window opens on New Year's Day. It was slammed shut again on 1st of February. So by the time this goes out, we'll be well underway, as I said. And I suppose the biggest question at present is Shay Adams. Is this it for him? I mean, has he played his last game for us? Will he be included in Monday's trip to Curry Road? I mean, that contract has been on the table since the summer. He was asked about it back then, and he kind of sidesteps the question. And Martin has weighed in and said it's a difficult situation. Cause he said he himself has an opinion. The ownership has an opinion, and I'm sure his agent does too. And they're all going to be different. And he's also said that if a good offer comes in, then they won't turn it down. So that's it for me, I think. And I expect him to leave. And if he really wanted to stay, then, you know, he would have shown his intent and he would have signed. But he's putting himself back in the window, it seems, because he's got 3 goals in December, mostly from the bench as well. And 2 goals in his last 2, of course. And I think he's had a good month by the standards that he set in the previous month anyway. So I think, Tim, this is as good as done. I think if someone swoops, he's off.
I understand what you're coming from, but I don't think that someone's going to come in with an offer that's going to do it. And I think he'll still be with us through the rest of the season. Ooh, I don't think he'll re-sign with us in the offseason.
So but do you really think the ownership would let him leave for free?
No, they will not let him leave. Oh, they'll let him leave for free at the end of the year. Because
that's what I mean. His contract's up at the end of the year. So if they're going to get anything for him, then anything's better than nothing. Get rid of him now.
No, I think they're hedging their bets on promotion, though. I think they think Che, because now Ross Stewart's out, they could have afforded Che leaving earlier. And now they don't. And just as you said, the 3 goals that they had fairly recently, we know that he can do it. You know, is he going to be the amazing? He's going to be the best? No. Is he going to frustrate us here and there? Yes. But having him on the team is a better chance of promotion than not having him on the team.
Obviously, yeah. And I mean, I think if we do let him go, that would leave us light up top as well. So that's one thing that's going in our favor. I mean, Adam Armstrong, who's, let's face it, he doesn't play as a number 9 anyway. I mean, anywhere across the front and he's all over it. That seems to be working. Obviously, Ross Stewart out for a while. We know that. Sekumara, I mean, at this point, he's not our starting option, is he? But Shay out, surely that means someone else has got to come back in. And I don't think Saints are going to want to do that. Unless, of course, they want to go on loan signings and just grab a load of wingers, because we've heard a lot of stories about Ahmed Diallo coming in. And maybe they'll just do that and just replace him with players like that and utilize this false 9 and put Stuart Armstrong up there or Charlie Alcaraz up there. I mean, I don't know. But the only thing I will say, Tim, is I mean, if you really want Shay to stay, there's going to have to be a lot of business done. There's going to have to be a substantial offer that comes in, and then Saints are going to have to replace him. Because I feel like if Shay does go for a good price and we don't bring in another striker, then I think we have shot ourselves in the foot.
I think it's going to take somewhere around £3 or 4 million to get him for a half season at this point. Because, you know, what's the value of us having him versus not having him? And what's, you know, what are we going to have to do to get a striker in the market? We'd have to have somebody lined up, like Premier League level striker who is willing to come down and get some extra practice for 4 months. Somebody who hasn't played a lot, who is really good, who has scored a lot of goals in the past, who might have a background and familiarity with the South Coast, and somebody who, you know, it's probably the guy who did his hair plugs lives down here as well in Winchester.
Incomings then. Rumors. Again, I've just mentioned Ahmed Diallo. We've heard rumors of that. He's been injured, though, I understand. And Ten Hag actually used him for Man United's game at Forest yesterday. Yesterday he had been injured, had a knee problem. But I think with their troubles, do you think they're going to want to let him go?
Well, United are a bunch of idiots. So they're going to do the wrong thing. And they're probably... I could see him getting loaned out if he's wanting to get pushed out on a loan. And if they do loan him out, it'll be like at the end of January too. So we won't really know. It'll be one of those, like, maybe Ten Hag will want him, maybe he won't. And then he'll eventually say, yeah, it's okay, he can go on loan. And, you know, we'll be able to scoop him up if that's something that would happen. I can see 2 players coming in. I could see that they were talking about the right winger, and Ahmed Diallo is that pure right winger. So that makes sense. And I think that's going to be a huge, huge, huge get if we do get him. But I think we need a center midfield. That is, I think, and should be our priority because, well, we did say Rebo's leaving, but I think the quality between Downs, Stu, Smallbone, Aribo needs to get, we need one more in there because I like Charlie up top and playing that false nine. We saw here in the Plymouth lineup that it tended to be more attacking. I think we just need that center mid who can step up and be there. And I don't think we're going to have that from Academy like Dibbling. I think that's what we should be really focused on and to elevate our game just a little bit since our defense is clicking. We have been scoring goals. I think Che is going to be here.
Okay, well, I don't think we're going to get that center midfielder. I don't think it's going to happen. There's more rumors as well. Bournemouth winger David Brooks, another strong one. I mean, he's only featured twice for Bournemouth. And he's going to want first-team football to try and force his way into that Wales Euro squad. Well, or their playoff campaign, at least. But there is news of an Aberdeen striker, Bojan Miovski. That was rumoured the other day, which I took note of and checked him out. He looks pretty handy. Possible replacement for Shea. And at left-back, there's a left-back, Matty Sorinola. I don't know a lot about him, but he was at Swansea last season. He's currently a free agent. He knows Martin well. He's had spells of him at MK Dons and Swansea. Middlesbrough are interested. He's quite versatile. He can play on both flanks. So a third reunion with Russell Martin could be on the cards. He's got bags of pace. He's good with a cross. He had the second most crosses in the Swansea side last season. So he does pose a threat in that final third. He's got 9 assists and 5 goals in his short career so far. So on a free one, maybe not such a bad move because obviously we've got James Brie out at the moment as well.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, once again, we're just bringing in all the left backs from Swansea with Ryan Manning and then
well,
potentially.
He's not at Swansea at the moment. I think he's playing in Germany and his contract has been terminated, which is never a good thing, but which is hence why he's on a free. So maybe that's why he's looking at him.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's in Belgium at Union SG.
Oh, he's in Belgium. Sorry. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's the same country over there. It's Western Europe, but they speak the same language. It's just the same thing. But I do think I understand why you don't think a center midfield is going to come into play. I think that you know you can mix and match and make the formation with whom we currently have. That's what I would like. But then we've also got Mason Holgate likely leaving on loan, and I think the. And then the rumor is Ben Johnson, he's primarily a right back, that it could come in his stead as well, which would lock in. Because right now we have currently 4 loans from Premier League teams. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the max is 5. Is
that that's right.
So we can only have one more loan in this season, or at least of. So, but if you replace Mason Holgate, then you're able to get another, and then you're able to get 2 more.
That's looking likely to happen, by the way. Mason Holgate back to his parent club, Everton. They need him. They need all the help they can get right now. That's about it for the transfer window. I just want to chat about some loans. One in particular, Lewis Payne of Newport County. He had a Boxing Day goal against Forest Green in a 4-2 win, and he also picked up an assist. He's doing very, very well over there, Lewis Payne. So, another fullback, which could be joining back again next season. Under 21s, I just need to catch up with them because they played on Wednesday, the 20th of December, the last in the Premier League International Cup at the Snow Stadium. They had a 2-2 draw with Dinamo Zagreb. Luke Pearce with both goals, and they came from behind twice for a point in their final game of the year. And their next game, they're back in Premier League 2 action on January the 12th at the Snow Stadium, where they will face Spurs. The women. Championship action returns with a long trip to Sunderland on Sunday, the 14th of January. So they've still got a couple of weeks off, the women. Under 18s, they lost to Chelsea on their last game of the year. Close 3-2 defeat. There's an own goal and a Josh Pitts goal for us. And they are next back on Saturday, the 13th of January, with a trip to Fulham. Okay, so like I said, Tim, we've got 3 games to go through. Very unusual for us. We normally only do the 2 at most. But we'll just skim through these because I don't know about you, but this seems like such a long, long game away, doesn't it? Saturday the 23rd against QPR. And it, way back on Saturday the 23rd, but a 1-0 win at Loftus Road. The goal, courtesy of Taylor Harwood-Bellis, his second of the season, following from his goal against Birmingham. A goal right before the half as well. A tight affair, Tim, made more difficult when Shea Charles was shown a second yellow, which would leave him with a one-match ban for Swansea on Boxing Day. But at that point, we extended the run to 15, and the added bonus that Ipswich lost at Leeds, so it helped us close that gap.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Three-stretch game. What was the last time that you had the entire Boxing Day window where we just absolutely destroyed everybody?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
So taking a look at that, obviously Harwood-Bellis was a stalwart and standout. You're not going to win them all. It wasn't necessarily the prettiest of games. And one of the biggest things was James Bree going out injured, which I did not like. That's affected our ability for flexibility. And right now we're sitting on effectively just two traditional fullbacks, being Kyle Walker-Peters and Ryan Manning. So that was kind of the issue. But overall, Aribo, I think this was Aribo's game that he came in and finally, I would say, yes, he's a part of the team and you could solidify. We can also count on him, which was really cool. But then Shea Charles, I mean, picking up a yellow and then really just clotheslining the guy for the second yellow. So if you're gonna go out, like you just went out and like you definitely took that yellow card. He said, well, break on the next game. They'll be able to take care of themselves. They'll be able to be fine against Swansea, which we were, and came back in and did a decent job against Plymouth.
Didn't even know he was gone for that Swansea game, did we? But yeah, how important is it at this stage, like when you're playing so many games in close proximity, that you're following up from a 4-0 win over Blackburn? You're on the road and Russell Martin opted for the same lineup. Wasn't expected. I mean, James Bree was playing down the right and Kyle Walker-Peters was down the left. Other than that, no changes. It was, well, I suppose if you win 4-0, you can't really change the team, can you?
The biggest thing here we saw was, well, Ryan Manning going in for James Bree, which took out one of the players in the window, which took out one of our windows. And then what I would call the planned substitution there. So that 56, 57. So the 60-30 rule, meaning you play 60 minutes and then you've got that 30 minutes off. Because traditionally for the 30 minutes of what would be simulated gameplay, you'd have that midweek anyways. So they're bouncing off back and forth between Che came in, Shea Charles came in, Ryan Fraser came in. So they took out Smallbone, Flynn Downs, and Adozie to have that rotation. So with that pure rotation, you had four new players in that were, were within that 60-minute window. And then to me, it's just, you're trying to conserve and hope that no other further injuries are going to happen, especially in our defense and our fullbacks anymore. Using those all five subs, which eventually Jack Stevens came in to get himself a little bit of a little bit of a kick on during the game and get back in. But to me, I think he, yes, you have to conserve, but he played it well. And they, with the subs, he played well with managing the squad, and it turned out just fine.
I think he's managed the squad perfectly, if I'm being honest. The personnel that he's used throughout this period has been brilliant.
I haven't had an issue with any of his subs. Like his subs, I wouldn't say they've always been spot on, but they've made sense when they've, not only who they are, but then when they came in, they've all made sense to me. So I think he is a tried and true manager that knows his stuff and gets the most out of the people. And it's just unbelievable. And we got to just enjoy the good times while we can at the moment.
Absolutely. Yes. But yeah, it wasn't all plain sailing. It was quite a struggle at times. I mean, the one thing that stands out for me was their attempt that Ia Chair had when he had that audacious attempt, which nearly caught Bazunu out, just lobbed from pretty much his own half nearly. And almost caught him out. But yeah, other than that, I mean, we were pressed. We had our chances as well. And you mentioned it. James Bree went down with that injury. Ryan Manning had to come in and obviously Kyle Walker-Peters switched back to his right. But our goal, good time to have it, right on the stroke of halftime, our 42nd minute. Ryan Manning with an in-swinging free kick flicked on again from Adam Armstrong. to an unmarked THB at the back stick for a simple finish, Tim.
Adam Armstrong is always in. I mean, he's always involved. He's had a continual presence. Right now, he's looking at as many goal contributions between goals and assists as anybody else in all of Europe at this point. I think Harry Kane is literally the only person who has more goals and assists than any other player right now. It's crazy to think about. He's always there. He's always involved. And whether or not he's making the runs and, you know, shooting the ball and getting goals, he just uses his 5'8" frame, flicks it on, and then all of a sudden, Taylor Harwood-Bellis makes that appropriate run on the backside, acting and being, you know, he's only 21 years old, so he knows, and he's a very intelligent person. And I think that was planned too. I think that his intention was to he wasn't necessarily going to be able to make anything work there, but getting the extra ball in the mixture, change it up, and where he put it at, right in the 6-yard, Harwood-Bellis, perfect run, amazing goal.
Excellent stuff. Just a quick word on that Shea Charles yellow, or second yellow, I should say. He did take one for the team. Apparently he was applauded when he went back to the dressing room, so they all liked it. They all appreciated what he did. So that's good to see. But a big 1-0 win. It was a big win. I had to dig in. QPR didn't actually play like a side starting the day in the bottom three. They've definitely improved under Cifuentes. And I don't know. I just hope they can get out of this because, you know, they're playing their hearts out at the moment. And they almost took us. They almost got a point against us, at least, anyway. So, good luck to them for the rest of the season. But we're finished with them now. 6 points we've taken off of them. So that's nice. Man of the match, Tim, do you want to go first?
It's Harwood-Bellis. I mean, he just come in and solidified everything. The goal was there. He didn't put a wrong foot the entire game. It was just beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful performance. And I want to get promoted for many, many reasons. But one of them is just so Harwood-Bellis can stay on the team.
Hopefully that's the case. But yeah, I've gone with Harwood-Bellis as well. He was the difference maker, and he was just solid all round. So he gets it from me also. And then, of course, Tim, on to Boxing Day, the Russell Martin Derby, Swansea City. Brilliant game to watch. It had a lovely, lovely day out, and you know, 5-goal thrashing to finish it off was excellent. The sixth consecutive win at St Mary's. We are being spoiled. goals from Joe Rebo, another for informed Samuel Adozie. Two off the bench for wee man Ryan Fraser, and the cherry on top for Shea Adams. Tim, Jack Stevens was handed his first start since August. That's 122 days. And playing right back with Guy Walker-Peters pushed forward. Completely confused me. I didn't know what he was playing at. I thought he was playing five at the back at first. I wasn't overly excited by it, but I mean, you can't complain about the results again, can you?
No, that is correct. And to me, I had Stevens plugged in as that the defensive mid, because the only center mid that we had was Downs. That is more of a 6-8 hybrid.
Yeah.
So Aribo and Stu Armstrong. And so I'm thinking,
this is why Stevens confused me. Yeah.
Stevens is playing. We're playing Stevens defensive mid. He's gonna just he's gonna be that pinch point. He's gonna be the triangle. He's gonna be a little bit farther forward. And then Walker Peters is gonna get freedom to move and be able to go up the side, but he's going to play up and down. And no, you look at the heat map, and Walker Peters is literally playing like a traditional right mid for the majority of the game. He just
so high up at points as well.
Yeah, and I actually think he wasn't as successful because him taking the ball, and one of the thing we've recognized is that he can take the ball and he can dribble and he has more space, whereas he had less space to maneuver around and use what would be the, and I don't know if he looked out of position, but he was just like, I'm getting the ball so far up the field now, what do I do with it? Whereas before, he would get the ball a little bit farther back, be able to take the vision and say, okay, no, I'm going to dribble it, and then I can predict the runs. Once he has that little extra second, a few extra time to think about it, it was just fun. And it was very surprising to see Stevens at right back. The last time I was thinking, I remember when we played, we played four center backs against Manchester City that one time a while back. And then Stevens was a defensive mid and we got absolutely thrashed, 4-0, 4-1 or something like that. So all in all, crazy formation, but he made it work, and it did, yeah. We were all pleasantly surprised. And once again, applauding Russell Martin for his tactical masterpiece.
I think it all came nicely though, because I think Swansea were just god awful defensively. The goalkeeper was a shambles. I think they were awful, and I think coming up against any team in that division, they would have ripped them apart. And it was just so lucky that we had them when we did. But I'm not complaining. It was still a solid performance. And Joe Erivo opened it up with on the 17th minute, his first of the season. Quite lucky with the way it fell to him, and quite lucky with a deflected finish as well. But yeah, but this was all because of Adozie. He was just fantastic down the left, and he made that happen. And yeah, it was good as well, because Erivo had that little goal song, Gold by Spandau Ballet, and that was a nice touch from the club to do that for him.
It was very nice, and that was the first of two Adam Armstrong assists on the day as well. Whoa. So to me, just he's always there, he's always involved, and it's beautiful nonetheless. So to me, looking forward to keeping it going and seeing Erivo be successful, and it just stinks now that he is going to go to AFCON and be taken out of the team, because he's made a great run, and Nigeria is going to get a great player who's got a great attitude.
And they probably won't play him as well.
And you know what? That's okay, because less injuries. But yeah, that's all right. This is the first game in a long, 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 long time where we had less yellows than the other team.
Currently, I didn't realize that.
We are sitting on 67 yellows after the end of the Plymouth game, highest in the championship right now. And so we only had two compared to their four.
Are you including Russell Martin's in this?
No, I am not. And then also the Blackburn game was the only one that stood out in the last 10, where we had less yellow cards than the opposing team. So that's where you're taking those professional fouls. We just mentioned Shea Charles, like he clotheslined him. He took it, he knew that it was a yellow, and maybe he wasn't going to start the next game, and he just didn't get his 30-minute run out during it.
Yeah. Samuel Adozie, again, brilliant in the build-up, and then he gets a goal for himself right after halftime. A complete mess from the Swansea keeper, Rushworth. Kind of air shot from a back pass, and Adozie was on hands, a little back heel, and it just crept over the line. But yeah, a mess. A third goal in four games for him, and that's his fifth on the season. So yeah, he's doing very, very well at the moment, Samuel Adozie.
So we started off very, very, very defensive, and recognizing that, and we wanted to just hold it in there, see that we could be in control. And within the first, obviously within the first half, it was 1-0 and a quick Adozie goal. This was what really was surprising to me is, so at the, for the traditional, I think the planned subs, the 57th and then the 70th minute. So Smallbo came on for Downs, which is probably like for like. Alcaraz on for Stu Armstrong attacking. Ryan Fraser on for Samuel Adozie. Mm-hmm. I think it's even more attacking than, and then Che Adams on for Jack Stevens. You're attacking. So then that's where he said, we're putting the foot on the gas. We're 2-0 up, but we're not letting it happen. We're not letting anything else come about from it. We're going to increase that goal difference, which was we absolutely did.
Show Swansea what you're missing out on as well with Russell Martin. I guarantee that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, and that's okay, because he is the king of Wales, actually, just destroying Cardiff. It's the first time that last year was the first time that they did the double over Cardiff decades. And then now just beating Swansea as well, and a quick turnaround where we get to play them, and hopefully they're going to still be battered and bruised from when we've just beat them 5-0.
No revenge, but yeah. It took to the 74th minute to grab the third, and that was Ryan Fraser off the bench. And I think I can say without any contradiction, that was the best of the bunch. Right on the edge of the box, and he just curled it right into the top corner. Lovely, lovely finish from Ryan Fraser.
Premier League level score right there. Yeah. Just absolutely pinpoint accuracy, top notch, right, you know, top left corner. Well, from the goalie's purview, top right corner for Izun. So to me, just utterly, I saw that. I was like, this is, we're sitting pretty on this. We're going to get another. I think we'll get one more at least. And sure enough, we did.
Well, we didn't, got two more, but yeah, I was, I was having a beer with Kev at halftime when Adozie scored. So I missed the Adozie goal. And then of course we went from, when did he score? The 48th minute to the 74th minute. And I was dying for the toilet. I decided to go right as Ryan Fraser scored the third. So I was just walking back to my seat and Ryan Fraser bangs it in. So I missed actually two goals. Yeah. And then, of course, he got the fourth, his second, 3 minutes from time, and another top quality strike, Tim, right in the roof of the net this time. That was his fourth of the season. He's doubled his tally in this game. So, yeah, excellent. Another great, great bit of finishing from the wee man.
We were just riding high. We just kept going, and it's crazy to see that potentially the best player on the pitch was somebody who showed up right at the 70 minute mark.
Yes, it is immense. We got an assist as well, didn't he, for Shea Adams, which of course was the fifth.
You know, he's straight on, and when he puts it, if he kicked it straight ahead, the keeper was right there. But he skies it straight into the roof of the net, the roof of the net, and it was just, I was just like, wow, he was just aggressive. He wanted that goal, and he absolutely smashed it. And I would have been scared if he hit him, if it would have hit me as a keeper, would have hit me straight in the face. I would have been completely knocked out from that.
Loving life in the Championship at the moment. Man of the match. I know Aribo got in the EFL Team of the Week with his performance, because he was great again. He's been having a really good month, and I think he's in contention for our Player of the Month. But for me, I'm going to give it to Adozie, Tim, because I thought his runs were... I know he didn't play the whole game, but when he was there, his runs were causing problems, and he made the first. He got his goal. And another one in contention for our Player of the Month. So, yeah. Sam Adozie for me.
I think there's four players that really stood out for it. Adozie was one. Second was Adam Armstrong with two assists on the day. Aribo with that score, but also, you know, he's coming to his own. He's strong. He's able to, you know, he's surprisingly nimble for how big of a guy he is. And then Ryan Fraser with the two goals late on.
And an assist as well. Yeah.
Yes, that is two goals and assist. So to me, I've mentioned before the cumulative effort of the entire game makes a huge difference. So you mentioned Aribo. I'm going to give it to Aribo because he played the entire 90, was right there involved and significantly, you know, made significant efforts and narrowly edges out Ryan Fraser for his for the goal contributions that Fraser has. I think if people want to say, yeah, Fraser was man of the match, I completely understand why because of the attack, but they were pouring it on after Swansea literally just gave up. So it was more of a training exercise than anything else.
Yeah. He made a comfortable game, battering really because of him. And then of course we moved on to Friday the 29th against Plymouth, a 2-1 victory to end 2023. It became uncomfortable towards the end, and from our first half performance you wouldn't have thought that we'd end this 2-1, but you know, it's another 3 points. We continue our assault on automatic promotion, 17 undefeated, and we are now just two games off our 102-year record. Outstanding, absolutely brilliant. Carlos Alcaraz and Shea Adams with the goals before another moment of madness from Gavin Bazunu. But yeah, before we go into the game, we just want to talk about the changes. There are four changes from that 5-0 thrashing. Flynn Downs ill, we've mentioned. I don't know what, Tim. I think there's something going on there that they're not saying. I really do. I think there's something really suspicious about this.
Let's not get into assumptions. I was joking about how he's getting his gut biomes checked. But if there is issues with individual where you're sick and you're not sick and you're sick and you're not sick, GI issue, you know, perpetual GI issues or diabetes or things like that, where, you know, if you're recently diagnosed with it, some things can lead, you know, occurrences where you're not in full health, but you can quickly come back and go back and forth.
This is what I'm thinking, something like that.
Yeah. And we want to protect him from, you know, further assumptions of what could be. I hope he gets healthy and I hope he maintains his health. You can joke about the chicken liver thing, which was kind of funny, but now there is something else, and we want to ultimately, Downs, get healthy, come back as soon as you can. When you're healthy, we want you here, and hope you're recovering and continually able to maintain full and a nice full health.
And we all know that a healthy Flynn Downs is definitely in the starting 11. He's definitely in my starting 11 anyway. I wouldn't have any other way. Jack Stevens played 70 minutes against Swansea, but he was rested again, understandable. Shea Charles was available after suspension, and Will Smallbone replacing Aribo and Downs, obviously. Alcaraz and Adams also handed starts. Any complaints with those 11? I mean, were you concerned or shocked at the resting of Aribo and Stevens?
No, I think we were talking about just how he's able to rotate necessarily. And he went from, you know, a very defensive lineup, which I was super surprised against Swansea, to, all right, we're going to go out and pummel them right at the beginning with that massive. I mean, Shea Charles is the only defensive mid, and then Smallbone's a pure eight. And then after that, it felt like almost like a 4-2-4 with Alcaraz sitting right behind Che, and then Adosie and Adam Armstrong on the wings. It felt really, really like a very attacking, very, very attacking lineup.
Yeah, and it was total dominance from the off, wasn't it? And Plymouth were just kind of pinned in their half. And I looked at their average possession, and that told a story, didn't it? I mean, we had 81% possession in that first half, and it remained 0-0. But yeah, you know, Che had the ball in the net, but it was rightly flagged offside. Adam Armstrong hit one from the centre circle, which was inches away. But yeah, it was Tim, despite us being 0-0 at the break, I was enjoying the pressure and I was buoyed by that 5-0. And I thought we could do it again, you know, and I thought patience was the key. And I could see an onslaught happening in the second half. I did feel quite comfortable with my 3-0 prediction.
Yeah, I think we all thought, and in that first half, that linesman on the far left side from the TV angle, the first one where it was rightly caught offsides, where Shea scored, there were two more right after that Shea was offsides for, that I would have, you know, VAR would have gotten involved if there was a goal to be had. And he fortunately was consecutively shit in his calls, which helped us out later on. But to me, we kept pouring it on and had that attack, and we had that attack presence. I mean, the halftime possession had to be somewhere around the 70, 30, 72, 28, even 75, 25. We just were in complete dominance at a completely different level than them.
Something I want to say about Samuel Adosie as well. I think he's been great lately. And again, I thought he was good here. Perhaps he hasn't had more minutes earlier on this season because of his lack of defending. And we've mentioned it before. He's made some costly mistakes defensively this year. He's not been tracking back, or he just looks just doesn't look interested at times. But my goodness, did he go some way to changing the narrative with that brilliant bit of backtracking and blocking. And I think it was a Whittaker's shot. But yeah, fantastic effort all round from Samuel Adosie. He's certainly turning into a player.
Yeah, he realized he's got to track back. And I've mentioned it multiple times. It was the Preston game where at midfield, he got the run on by one of. Yes. He got the run on. And if he took a professional foul and took the yellow card, they wouldn't have scored. And that was the one. And that's the play that, for example, with Shea Charles taking the second yellow where you're getting applauded off. That's what you do. And Adosie's too nice of a player, it seems like, to be able to go and make that. And he's a he's a, you know, he's not as physical. He wants to dance around you and dribble around you, which he's very, very, very good at. But to me, when he was able to track back and it was on a corner, it was like on a really on a quick counter, he's got the his stride length is just a pure gallop and was able to catch up with Whitaker. Fortunately, he, you know, he fumbled his first two dribbles when he got the ball. Adosie closed in, made it work, and just absolutely. Yeah, he did everything right. He just did everything right. It was perfect.
He's doing everything to be included in this team. And you've got no Salamada at the moment. Right now, the way he's playing, he's scoring goals. He's creating goals. He's tracking back. What more can the lad do? He is a starter for me every single time right now. Yeah, brilliant again.
Yeah. To me, I think he's got that 60 in him at the beginning, and you know the Adosie for Fraser sub or you know is locked yes. in as one of our. Well, there might be you know Fraser might come in for a different or a specific player. I think you know that the Fraser Adosie and Sulemana on that left side is a phenomenal flexibility for it. And with the assist, with the track back play, he's definitely locked in, but his dribbling, you know, he can, he made Edwards and Plazengo or Plagazilio.
The Spanish guy. Yeah.
Yeah. They're right center back. He made both of them look like pedestrians and like a tackling dummy. He looked like he just dribbled straight around him. It was just phenomenal. It was great to see and why we signed him from City's Academy. He's not going to get into City's lineup, but he is good enough and is well deserved in starts and plays for us.
Of course. Yeah. You just got to think, you kind of feel sorry for the right backs in the rest of the championship right now. Cause if you have like 70 minutes of Samuel Adosie running rings around you, then you get Ryan Fraser to come on and blast at you, then you're in trouble. As I said before, watch out with Switch because we're coming. But yeah, there's a bit of a controversy, shall we say, in the 56th minute. Ballymumba, he put Plymouth ahead, only to be flagged offside. But it was clear that Bednarik was playing Mumba on. Very, very harsh on them.
Yes, absolutely. I said earlier, though, that there were two Che Adams on the first in the first half where I think that he was onside, the second two of the three. And it was great to see that he was the linesman was consistently shit because it feels like he was consistent, you know, like that's. is that too much to ask for? Yes, you have to imply that he was also shit. You could say that he was shit consistently or consistently shit. Doesn't matter. It saved us because they had a great play and Mumba was, you know, playing. Basically, he's their left wing. He's their left wing back who's playing left winger in the majority of the time. So to me, we just didn't. We just allowed Mumba to score, and we just got purely lucky thanks to championship level rush.
And then seconds later, the Plymouth fans still raging. But left even more outraged when Charlie Alcaraz gave us the lead. And oh my goodness me, 56 minutes. Yeah, what a goal this was. A rocket from Charlie. No chance for Hazard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said it with Fraser earlier, with Alcaraz's goal right there. That is a Premier League level finish. Just
gorgeous.
If we don't
make it to the Premier League, then I'm guarantee he'll be a Premier League player next season regardless.
I think there's definitely a good chance that he will be. And he just recently signed that extension, added a little extra year, probably added a little extra salary to him.
Absolutely,
extend his Premier League level salary bump, and that probably will get us more money back if we don't make it. So all in all, I think that little extra extension bump was great and so far so good for him. We're taking a look at Alcaraz, three goals on the year, you know, one assist, but is just a super creative player that can
Even creative from the penalty spot.
Yes, absolutely. I think he's flamboyant, but he also recognizes and can bring back his flamboyance in and can be a team player. Because earlier in the first half there, where Shea Charles had the ball, and Alcaraz almost took it, basically kind of just took it from him. Net just missed the right around the post, and he looks at Shea and he's like, I'm sorry. So yeah. He's reeled back in. He can have that flamboyance, but then he can taper it back. So to me, team player, love it. And you know, just enjoying the time that we have with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause it ain't going to last long if we don't make it, that's for sure. Shea Adams, 63rd minute, double the lead, little touch, past the hapless Hazard. And that's it. Done and dusted, right? No problems.
Yeah, Harwood Bellis has a perfect chip. The play was really to chip over the top. We saw that for a lot of the second half there. Harwood Bellis makes a great play. Che just bodies that center back, absolutely bodies that center back, and was fantastic. And then dinks it around Hazard. But that was shit goalkeeping play. Yeah. He needs to come out and be more aggressive. He literally stood there he just stood there and he's like, well, I can't do anything about this, so I'm just going to stand right here and hopefully he kicks it straight at me, which with Che, there's a decent chance that he would have done that. But bodies him out, gets in the angle, and just was able to make, I would say, a Premier League level finish.
Yeah.
But the center back and the goalkeeper would not be as willing to allow that goal in the Premier League.
Absolutely not. Very simple. I suppose we can't have it all our own way, Tim. I mean, you go 3 games undefeated in this stretch, you score all these goals and you don't concede. You know, all this pleasure, you have to have the pain. And Gavin Bazunu not dealing with a simple back pass, and Ryan Hardy chased him down, pokes at home, and it left the game unnecessarily tight and nervy. Just something that we just have to get used to as Saints fans, really.
Let's take a look at the subs, since we've been talking about the subs the last couple games. The 67th, 68th minute mark that we've got, Aribo came on, Stuart Armstrong came on, and Frazier came on. It became more defensive and it became more lackluster in the subs. I think that was the turning play where it became kind of that nerviness. So to me, while the subs were made, I think that, you know, you can chalk it up to, you know, 3 games over a week, and you can chalk it up to more of a defensive play. To me, it was probably one of the few times where the subs made a negative impact, or the negative flow of the game.
Well, things were going so well in that first half. I think tiredness as well. Maybe it was just a sense of, oh, let's just get this year over and done with. Let's just get this game over and done with. And also, you know, being 2-0 up against Plymouth, they weren't threatening aside from that offside. The only way that they were ever going to get back into the game was through a counter-attack or a silly mistake. And that's exactly what's happened.
We let them into the game.
Yeah.
We let them into the
unnecessarily.
Game.
Really, really unnecessarily. It could have closed that one out. It could have been a comfortable 3 or 4-0. It should have been, in fact. But yeah, it was a nervy one. And but you know, we hung on. I say we hung on. You know, we deserved to win the game quite handsomely, but we got the 3 points. That's the important thing. Everyone's happy, slightly. Rishi Sunak in the crowd, although Russell Martin not interested in saying hello. I don't blame him. I wasn't either. But yeah, man of the match. Once again, we had a player in the official EFL team of the week, two in this case, actually, Kyle Walker-Peters and Charlie Alcaraz, both outstanding. Harwood Bellis, Tim, again, terrific, and slightly overshadowed by Alcaraz and Kyle Walker-Peters, in my opinion. But I think my man of the match, I'm going to give it to Kyle Walker-Peters, because I don't know. Just recently, I think he's shown why he's the best in this position, in this league. And he seems to be getting on. It seems to be getting on the ball a lot more. I don't know if it's because, you know, that Swansea game he was pushed forward a lot more, and he seems to be holding on to it. It looks like he's got more time. He certainly has in this division than he did last season. And importantly, it looks like he's really, really enjoying his football at the moment. And I just think that's key. You're enjoying where you're playing and you're enjoying what's happening, then good things are going to happen. So I just think another excellent showing from Kyle Walker-Peters. So yeah, I think he deserved it.
Absolutely. So I would put Kyle Walker-Peters easily in the top three players in the entire championship. I think Kiernan Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Dewsbury Hall. So he's the best defender in the league, even though, I mean, he plays it right back and just can dribble around people. I would put probably
Wesley Hoot and Yannick Vestergaard.
Yes, perfect. Yes, it's exactly the players who I was thinking of. Dewsbury Hall is, because with his goal contributions, both for scoring and for assists, definitely up there. I'd maybe put Somerville up there from Leeds as well. He's just got
Smodic's
that massive
having
flair.
A great season.
Smodic's at 15 goals in the season. But then, you know, I'd put Adam Armstrong collectively probably as you know, in that fifth, probably in the fifth position, and I'm forgetting somebody else here.
Whittaker's banged in some goals as well for Plymouth. He's having a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all in all, just amazing to see, and you know, that'll be the struggle to hold on for next year, unless we get promoted, and then it's game on at that point.
Well, that's why I said, Tim, that, you know, he's enjoying his football here at the moment, because I do think that if we don't go up, there's a chance he could keep him. Maybe. That's my hope, because he loves it here. He seems to. So there's always
that. Absolutely. Yep. So we didn't talk about Harwood Bullis's early first half off the corner, almost scored.
Yes, yeah.
The keeper literally just watches it go by him, you know, off the post. He had to be really upset. And then he makes it a beautiful chip in with the assist going over the top to Che Adams. Harwood Bullis is my man of the match.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Again, another top performance from him. He's in contention for player of the month for us. I think there's three there that we've, you know, over the stretch of the month, you've got to put a Rebo in there. You've got to put a Dozy in there. You've got to put Harwood Bullis in there. So that it pretty much makes itself, doesn't it? And I guess you could put Kyle Walker-Peters in that stretch as well. Just, it's been a good month. Very, very good month. Undefeated yet again.
Sitting third, 25 games played, 15-1, 6 draws, 4 losses, 45 goals scored, 30 against, plus 15 goal difference, which is absolutely amazing to see. Sitting on 51 points. 13 points acquired from our last 15 points total. So in the last 5 games, only 3 points behind Ipswich. Who would have thought that? Wow. I mean, you could have predicted that they could have slipped up. I think that was more expected than us going 17 unbeaten, which is absolutely amazing.
It's never going to happen again, folks. Once this run ends, that's it. It's just never going to happen. Not in my lifetime, but yeah.
I actually don't think so. Yeah, I don't think it would be happening. Yeah, in either of our lifetimes, 17 games. And there's going to be some bogey game here, some banana peel game that's going to happen. But we're all, as long as we just kick back on from it, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. And moving on then, Tim, we've got a busy week. 2 games yet again. It keeps going into 2024. And we play on New Year's Day, Monday the 1st of January at Carrow Road, Norwich City, 3:00 kickoff. Tim, take it away.
All right. So against Norwich right now, what are we looking like compared to the last time that we played? So we are now in the second half of the season, playing everybody that we haven't played against. And so to me, you know, taking a look, let's see what we played, what happened last season, earlier in the season. We drew 4-4, luckily, with that last minute penalty acquired and well into the 90th minute from KWP. 4-4, absolutely barn burner, but we don't want to have 4 goals scored against us. Things have definitely changed since then. But right now, Norwich is sitting 13th in the league, and they seem destined for another season in the championship, not that yo-yo club that they've been normally. But there's current unrest with David Wagner as the coach. So they don't seem to like him currently. And
no, they don't. They've been like this for a while, actually, Tim. I've seen it on social media quite a bit. They've wanted him out for months.
Doesn't seem
to have got any better.
I don't think they like the type of play, and I think they feel, and I think rightly so, that they are better than 13th place.
Absolutely.
So they feel that they should be pushing for the playoffs position and hopefully going up that way. They're used to being that yo-yo club, so being right in the automatic promotion discussion, not likely to happen with the quality of players that dropped out, a quality of teams that dropped down with us, Leeds, and Leicester. But promotion push, or excuse me, playoff push, yes, I think they should consider themselves that, and that's, they're rightly so pissed. But American Josh Sargent back on the bench after a long spell of injury, out for a number of weeks. And then taking a look at their players who have really come on and kicked on the season, Gabriel Sara is, you know, he's been absolutely fantastic.
Scored a brilliant goal against us at St. Mary's.
Yes, and can definitely be considered in that, I would say, like, even the team of the season is a potential there. And maybe probably third or fourth best center mid so far in the Premier League. And then Row the Boat. He's completely out of nowhere, absolutely looking fantastic as well. You know, came off and on with a few injuries, but is also something to take a look at, and some of their key players. You know, with their last five games, they lost to Millwall 1-0 just recently, and even Millwall got a red card in that game too, and they lost it. Before that, lost to West Brom. Before that, beat Huddersfield 2-0. Before that, they drew their rivals Ipswich, which was actually a really fantastic game to watch. Fortunately, was able to catch that early in the morning, and then they beat Wednesday 3-1. So what are we looking like for our team? Once again, I think we're going to see some rotation. I think he's going to go back to more what we saw on a defensive level against Swansea right at the start, just to solidify and keep ourselves going and feel good about the defense. I don't see any new changes. I think we're not going to see any new changes compared to the lineup that we saw for Swansea. So I think you'll see Steven start as well. And I think you might maybe see one of Shea Charles in for Smallbone. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Shea Charles started. So you might see Smallbone in for Aribo and then probably Stu Armstrong as well. And let's just hope Downs is back, because I think you plug and play Downs in that lineup. But besides that, the front three, definitely Odozie, Adams, and Adam Armstrong.
I mean, I could probably see him going full on, a little bit stronger, or the strongest that you could possibly do, and then maybe rest players for Walsall. So I reckon we could possibly see Jack Stevens rested and then play him for 90 minutes against Walsall. Maybe Stuart Armstrong has 90 minutes against Walsall, is not included here. Maybe he won't risk Flynn Downs on Monday and then play him against Walsall. I don't know, but I think if he's going to rest players, I think he might rest them for the Walsall game. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm. And with Aribo leaving us pretty quickly, get him more minutes in, and maybe Downs will make the bench and hit one of those 30 minute rotation, which I could definitely see as well.
But I think it's important that we go out and get the job done early, so we can make those changes and then think about Walsall. You know, if we go into the half 2 or 3-0 up, I'm not saying we will. Then, you know, it'll make it a hell of a lot easier.
And I'm curious about our injuries as well, where we're seeing it. We know about Stewart. We bought a lemon, and he's out for the rest of the season. Sulemana, not going to be back until mid-February. And then James Bree, I think he's the one player that we don't really know too much about with his current injury. So if anybody knows anything, or you know anything,
All he said was that they're not going to do anything over the Christmas period with it, and we're going to know at the start of this week whether he's going to be fit, or they'll have a rescan after the Christmas period. So whether he's having that rescan today, I don't know. I just expect him to be out, I reckon. And again, we don't know about Flynn Downs, do we, if he's going to be well enough to return.
One player we haven't mentioned in a long time got injured in late September after a previous long injury in 2022. Maybe Juan Larios can come back into the lineup sometime here in February or March or April, maybe even be back in April. But then hopefully he'll be able to survive and not get injured for another 7 or 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the mend. Predictions. Kevin is going for a 2-2 draw. Another high scoring game. And then Tim, it's you. What are you going to go for? I mean, I'm intrigued about this one.
He's going with a Desmond. I think that away from home, I think that Wagner is in one of those places where he's going to knock out or be able to play a little bit higher against teams that he should be teams that he should be, you know, not necessarily as well. Or and then teams that he's losing against are teams that he should be beating. While he's going for the Desmond, I'm going for the 1-1 draw. And hopefully I am wrong, but I think we do continue that streak.
I think so too. I think we continue that streak, and I think I'm just going on current form. And I think that we win this game. I think we are going to take them 2-1. So I think that's quite a popular score this week. But yeah, 2-1 for me. So yeah, and then that all-important FA Cup game, that third round tie, Warsaw visits St Mary's on Saturday the 6th of January as a 3 p.m. kickoff. Tim, what do we know about Warsaw?
Warsaw, who the hell are they? I've heard of them in the fact that they're a team and they're probably a town. And so I had to look it all up. And fortunately for us, they are currently 15th in League Two, based in the West Midlands in the town of Walsall, very small little community near the West Brom area and outside of Birmingham as well. So what?
Yeah,
to
about
expect?
9 miles north of Birmingham, somewhere around there, Staffordshire area. But
not too, just overall kind of a unique team that we get to play. Probably one that we haven't played, except we did play them. Southampton, after being relegated all the way down to League One, allowed us to clinch promotion and get into the championship. And during that game, Walsall survived by 1 point to stay in League One at the time. So, taking a look back, a sub that came on by the name of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain cut inside and hit a very unstoppable shot to be able to score, with the result going in our favor and helping us out there as we did pretty well. So all in all, that was we actually have played them recently, and that's within the last 12 years. So kind of fun to think about that a team that we haven't really ever thought about. We have played them somewhat more recently than, say, teams that are even Blackburn we haven't played in a decade, which is kind of cool or interesting to think about. What to expect from
only
them.
20 times, just if you're interested. We played them 20 times in the history, which isn't a lot.
That's still a lot more than I expected. I expect them to be, they've never been in the Premier League or in the top level, where they've always, or it seems like, perpetually lower than us, except for when we got all the way down to League One.
So we played them in the 2009-2010 League One season and the 2010-11 League One season. But before that, last time we played them was April 63.
So there we go. Going all the way back then. So what to expect from their team going back, taking a look at their lineups. They've had a perpetual 3-5-2 or 3-5-1-1 where they have not maintained possession or over 50% possession two times in the last 10 games. So taking a look at that, they were willing to let the other team sit and play with the ball even more. So look for us to have a lot of possession right now. So two players I want to be able to talk about: Freddie Draper, on loan from Lincoln City. He's 17 years old. 17 years old, and he's got 10 goals for them so far.
Wow.
So that is the player that we're going to want to look out for. And then unique Donovan Daniels. He is the captain of the team. Been there for a few years now. He is the captain for Montserrat. And do you know Montserrat. Where Montserrat?
Yeah.
Montserrat. Oh, yeah. So, place, unique. You don't see that too often, especially in the English, the entire English tier. But maybe he has some type of history with the country itself of Montserrat. Well, not even quite a country.
It belongs to the British, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does. So, So he probably has some kind of connection there. And. Which is kind of cool. But one thing that they can do is they can play with the top of League Two. And we see that from two of their last five games, where they have beat Wrexham 3-1 most recently. And then in the fifth most recent game, they beat Notts County 2-1. So those are teams sitting in the playoffs and automatic promotion
Both
places.
Both teams that got promoted from the National League, though, weren't they?
Yes, but with some of the highest budgets in mm-hmm. League Two currently this season. Yeah. So where they're sitting at in comparison to the table compared to Walsall, they beat them. So they know they can do it, and so their expectation is to play on the counter and be clinical when they can. So working back from the last five, they beat Wrexham 3-1, they beat Crewe Alexandria 2-0, lost to Acre and Stanley. Where the hell is that? Anyways, 2-1. Where? Who are they? they beat Tranmere 1-0, and then Mike Dean's team, and then they beat Notts County 2-1. So taking a look at it, there's a reason that they're in the third round is they've taken the chances against the teams around them, and will be hopefully not that banana skin game, and hopefully not something that is going to challenge us, but you never know.
Oh God, don't say that. Do not say that. Tim, you are definitely first on predictions this time. What are you going with?
Well, I am first right now. I think we're going to clean house. I think it's going to be a 4-0 win.
I'm similar, just not as much. I just think that we're going to rest a few players and it's going to be job done. And I think they'll sit back, much like the Plymouth game. And I think we'll win this game 3-0. And also, Kevin has gone for 3-0 to. So a 4-0, 3-0, 3-0. So there we go.
The biggest thing is we are going to rotate, but we're going to be not as good. Yes, we're not going to be as good as we need to be doing. And we're going to come off very slow, and they're going to basically sit back and let us have the ball, and we're going to dance around and try to just recycle and play it through and hope, you know, and then eventually it's going to be 0-0 at half or maybe potentially 1-0 on a lucky shot. And then we need to quickly pour it on and put in some attacking players. Let's bring on an Alcaraz to just dance around them. Let's bring on a Dozy to make their right back look silly and knock it out of the park with a few goals, a good number of goals later on in the game, just like it was in the Swansea game.
I hope we get to see some more of Sam Amamayor as well. I hope he'll get some action, but. Yeah, who knows?
Him and Dibbling, too. I would like to see them for a cameo of about 30 minutes and hopefully, but then also rotating some of our great players alongside them,
Absolutely,
too,
yeah.
as well, because we cannot. Yes. I don't want to see too many rotations, but I want to see a few.
OK, so our Discord then on the QPR front, just the two of you going for the 1-0, and that was Andy and you, Tim. So, yeah, you're starting to move up the table. And Swansea, nearly everyone going for a Saints win, but no one actually went for a 5-0. Plymouth, four correct scores. We've had Tim Brucker, Tony Mears in the channel, and Greener. So, yeah, we have a three-way tie at the top. We've got Tim Brucker, Kurt Supple, and Coastal Elite all on 44, with yours truly one behind on 43. So, yeah, those Norwich and Walsall predictions are all important for the top of that. So, yeah, get those on the Discord as soon as you possibly can. Super 6, round 25 was won by Kevin Byrne. Round 26 was won by Paul Beasley and Stephen Ayres with 15 points. Round 27 was Colin Carter with 14 points. That leaves the overall lead, Andrew Knight, on 235. Fantasy football, Tim, and I will say I have not looked at my team in Gaffer or in fantasy football for a long, long time now. So, yeah, I'm slipping. But how was everyone else doing?
Well, first up, we have the breaking news right now. Southampton are in talks with Burnley over a loan for Manuel Benson on the team itself. So the deal would be likely include a purchase option in the summer of 2024 window. Currently at Burnley, I have no clue who he is. But he's outside of just taking a look up. He is a right mid, right wing.
Belgian,
5'5" inches tall.
Looks a small one.
Yep, and left foot, so a left-footed right winger. But 26. So not looking for a depth piece there, and a stocky guy. He basically, if you put Ryan Frazier on the left and Manuel Benson on the right, you've got a team that can probably look like a bunch of middle schoolers.
I think that's a good one.
Yes. In that number podcast league right now, there's some games going on. Tottenham's playing Bournemouth, and Tottenham just scored going for 2-0. And then we've got 1-1 Fulham and Arsenal. So that's going to change everything up a little bit here. But taking a look, Dan Buck doing fantastic. Top of the league right now, 1,176 points. Lavia Loca at Chris Bonner, 1,166 with a great flex play, and allowing him to get to 54 with players to go. Brad S. with Brad's Lads and third, 1,142 points. Chris Ambridge with Ambrisio, 1,136. And We Ate Pompeii with Tommy Rafferty sitting in fifth place. Taking a look at Gaffer, we've got – so Tim Brucker has definitely come up and knocked it out of the park recently. He's knocked me back off from first into second place. No major changes overall except for all the way down at the bottom with Tom Pickett's team going up to eighth and Colt Baker dropping down to ninth. And there's still that separation there between Tim and me, and then third place with Moscow Mush. Ray, you're in fourth, and Connor is in fifth place.
I do promise to get back on it once we get a little bit of normality back and the games have slowed down a bit. I will get back on it and use my power ups and et cetera. And I'll take a look at it. I've just been very busy. But that is it for this week. So, yeah, hopefully next week normality will resume. We'll be on hand to discuss the Norwich and Walsall games. And Tim will be giving his preview for the visit of Sheffield Wednesday for the 13th of January. We'll also have a player and goal of the month for December to award, which could prove quite difficult, actually, because we scored 16 goals in December. But until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.